Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show on this Thursday afternoon, the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM. Of course, this is the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. I'm Nikki Seberini, delighted to be with you for the next hour. We've got a great show lined up for you in a moment. Zola Mtoza, a cancer warrior, will be joining us, as well as her amazing neurosurgeon, Dr. Jafar Azar. And then we're going to be talking about, you know, the good things guy, Brent Lindeke, amazing human being. And then, you know, the publication once a week, we get all the good news happening in South Africa. So Tyler Lee Vivier, who is an editor, is going to be joining us, and she's going to be talking about the next step that the Good Things Guy is taking, of course, expanding their reach, ability to help people, connecting people, and, you know, to talk about something that is so positive is amazing, especially, yeah, with what is happening in the world. So we focus on all those beautiful stories. So we'll start with our first guests. I'd like to welcome Zola Mtoza, who's a cancer warrior, and Dr. Jafar Azar. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Zola. Lovely to have you on the show. And I don't know if the doctor has joined us yet. He's with us. Okay. Fantastic. So I'm going to start off, because I honestly think this is such an amazing story, Zola. I mean, when I say that, you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, no, it's not. You know, this is my life, and it's been pretty challenging the last year. But when, you know, and I can't wait to speak with your neurosurgeon, because I just think it's quite unbelievable what you have experienced and where you are today, having a brain tumor and going for surgery, and this long road to recovery back to where you started, Zola. So perhaps we can just start off with, because you're young, only 26 years old, and it all started off with a whole lot of headaches, and a lot of doctors were just saying, you know, it's stress-related, correct?
Yes, that's what they said, because
I didn't know
what was going on at the time.
Sorry, Zola, I didn't hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. So you were saying that it started off with a whole lot of headaches, and they were diagnosed as, you know, related to tension headaches, until one morning you woke up and your mother found you sweating and confused. Perhaps you can just fill our audience in what that was like.
I was actually very confused, because I thought it was a tension headache for 2 years. That was I told. But then on a Wednesday, I just couldn't move. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. My mom found me sweating. So I was very confused as well. So they called the ambulance.
Zola, it must have been so scary to wake up, not be able, and to be so confused and not be able to talk. At what point did you start to, when, you know, they took you to the hospital, at what point did you start to realize you have this tumor, and that's what was going on?
I was very confused, because I didn't even think about it. I didn't know about it. But then when we went to the hospital, then Dr. Azar checked everything. They couldn't see anything. And then when we got an MRI, that's when he saw that there was a tumor on my brain.
Sure. Maybe we can bring in Dr. Azar right now. Dr. Azar, welcome. Hello. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for inviting me.
I know how busy you are. And you know, when I was reading the story, I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, you know, I'm really looking forward to having the conversation with both of you because I honestly think that people who can do what you do are pretty amazing. So let's go back when you know, when Azola was brought into hospital, MRI scan, had these so-called tension headaches for 2 years, woke up sweating, confused, and you saw this giant tumor. So what happens, Dr. Azar, when you see something like that? Is the first question, you know, is it, I mean, obviously there's a tumor. Do you have to ascertain whether it's cancerous, whether it's benign? What steps do you take and how do you as a doctor approach this when it comes to patients who are in that very confused kind of state?
Firstly, thanks for inviting me, and secondly, thanks for the praises that or accolades that you've said. But I'm just an ordinary neurosurgeon, nothing extraordinary. In this case as well, I did just the normal routine. The case was very extraordinary in few respects that there was a young girl, very young. She had very minimal symptoms, as you can see that she was labeled as stress or tension headaches for a while, and nobody even thought that the scan should be done. So when once this and she didn't have any neurological deficit, nothing serious, and when such a healthy young patient presents and you do a scan and suddenly you see a huge tumor, the tumor size was very extraordinary, and that is what was extraordinary about this case. Obviously, dealing with that tumor is pretty difficult and not normal. But especially when the patient is young, the tumor is deep. The tumor is on the left half of the brain, and the left half of the brain, we call it the dominant hemisphere, because it controls the right half of the body, which is your dominant side, and the speech center as well. So if you in the intervention you give the patient a deficit, then they are severe deficits, So deciding what to do, I mean, that was a bit difficult. Although this tumor from the start, we knew that it's a benign tumor. Now, benign, there are two types of tumor. One is benign and the others are malignant. Malignant means cancer and benign means non-cancerous. So while the malignant tumors, they are supposed to be life-threatening, and obviously they are. But on the other hand, the benign tumors are signified as non-harmful. They're not cancerous, so they're not life-threatening. But in the brain, it's a relative term, because even the benign tumors, as opposed to elsewhere, say for example, you've got a benign tumor on your forearm, and it grows from the skin, it presses the muscles, the nerves, and things. It is something which is not invading into the normal tissues. It's just compressing them and causing symptoms. And because it's well defined, it's got a margin, clear margin, so it can be excised safely. Mostly, without any post-op symptoms or risks. Whereas in the brain, even a benign tumor, if it's located in a sensitive area of the brain or very deep in the brain, or like in this case, the size of the tumor can be daunting. So the results can be just as malignant, as harmful as a malignant tumor can be, It can be life-threatening. The operation can be life-threatening. it can result in severe neurological deficits, which, you know, because the patient, a young patient, comes without any deficit, healthy looking, and post-op you give them a deficit, so it's not a rewarding thing or not a good result, which you don't feel good at any time, you know. So those were the unusual sort of characteristics that we encountered in this tumor.
And the only option was to remove it surgically.
The only option, you know, was surgery. And the other thing is that, yes, you know, in the malignant tumors, the options are surgery, which is never complete resection, but there are other adjuncts like radiation or chemotherapy. Whereas in the benign tumors, if the size is big, then surgery is the only option. The other modalities are not effective against them. So that was the only option we had.
Wow. And I mean, going in, as you say, such a young person, and going in for this lengthy procedure, I believe it was a 10-hour operation, and we'll go into that. But before we do, Dr. Azar, I mean, so often you hear, and I'm not sure from the information I got, that when people go in to have a tumor removed, they have to be conscious or semi-conscious. Was this the case with Azola?
No, not really. I mean, that is a different kind of surgery for different indications where you have conscious surgery, you know. No, not in this case. No.
Not in this case. Okay. So, Azola, let me bring you back in at this point. You know, when you were told that this is why you were confused and why you've been having these headaches and that you would have to go in for a really big operation, how did you feel about that? What was that like, getting your head around the fact that you had to have brain surgery?
Yeah, honestly, I was just confused and I was a little bit hurt because I didn't know, like, why would this happen to me as a person? But then my mom also like supported me a lot, and the doctors as well. They were also very so good towards me, and everything happened very well.
And so you went in for the surgery, doctor. That's. Honestly, doctors, I mean, we talk about a 10-hour operation. I mean, are you standing for the 10 hours? Yes. Let's talk about you having to focus and concentrate. And it's pretty extraordinary, you with your team, a 10-hour operation. Can you speak to that, please? I mean, just to get people's head around this. I mean, you think about an 8-hour working day and you think about what you can get done in the 8 hours, how many breaks you have, how long it's the whole day. This is a 10-hour surgery. How on earth do you do something, you know, like that?
One thing I'll say that as neurosurgeons, it's not something very unusual. So that's something that we are, although not very common either, but something that we are accustomed to. So it's the length of the surgery, and that is not on our mind really. But because of the risks of the procedure, obviously the bigger the tumor, the bigger, more the risks, the longer the surgery, the more the risks. So those factors are quite stressful. But again, I mean, that's what we do. So it's nothing unusual.
You're very modest, doctor. You're extremely modest. So you've obviously got to have an amazing team that you're working with. I'm so interested in those 10 hours. Is it the same team from beginning to end? I mean, do you have someone take over for a while? Really? I mean,
no.
I'm genuinely curious about this.
Yes, I'll say that we are very thankful for that, that we do have a dedicated team here at, this happened at Netcare Unitas Hospital. And the team is specialized. They are very good, very efficient, very well equipped facility. So all those factors were very positive towards us and very helpful. And the team remains the same. They don't change shifts in between. So it's also all credit to them. Because, you see, when the surgeon is operating, because we are so focused, so we hardly even realize that how much time has gone and, about the exhaustion or anything, that doesn't bother us because we are so focused. But not everybody in theater is just as involved or as focused, So for them to be there and to be available and to be on their toes and do the right thing and not falter in any way, that is difficult and quite commendable.
Yeah, just really, really incredible. And also, reading about, the surgical microscope to illuminate and magnify the intricate structures of the brain, all of these things, an ultrasonic aspirator. And what I found so interesting when reading about this was a cell saver. And maybe you can just speak to this because, just absolutely fascinating, all to do with the blood.
Yeah, true. You see, this was a benign tumor, which we call a meningioma. Now, meningiomas are very vascular, which means they have a high blood supply. So obviously, excising them, there's a lot of blood loss in that. And the only way to deal with that used to be that we take blood from a donor and we transfuse or replace the lost blood. But cell saver is a technique where they, they take the patient's blood, which is going into the drain, and they collect it from there and they purify it and clean it and they transfuse the patient the same blood back. So there's no loss of blood as such, because the same amount that's going, not 100%, but most of the blood is just transfused back to the patient, which is the patient's own blood. So it's with less risks and, all sorts of infection or any other risks.
Wow, just really, really amazing. So that's a cell saver. That's phenomenal. I hadn't heard of that before.
And the perfusionist does it. And obviously, they're also an amazing bunch of guys that we have.
Obviously, the question is, 10-hour surgery, and it's so specific, and you have to be so careful. And I know Zola's obviously listening to this. Do you know after surgery how successful it has been? In other words, we're going to be talking to Zola about that in a moment. But there is a long recovery process after brain surgery. And as you say, it was big. It was sitting on the left-hand side. That does affect speech. Do you know how successful it's been? Or do you have to kind of interact with the patient afterwards to see how long the recovery takes or how successful the operation was?
With such a prolonged surgery and so much manipulation and everything, so much invasiveness, the more invasive things are because we are cutting tissues and all that, there's obviously trauma to the tissues. And wherever there's trauma, the organ swells. So the same happens to the brain. So brain swelling is a very major risk post-operatively. So one way to tackle that, or one of the things that are also involved in this is that post-operatively, we keep the patient sedated and ventilated so that you know, there's no exertion by the patient because that will increase the edema or the swelling of the brain or intracranial pressure. So she was kept sedated, ventilated. Obviously, we were monitoring all sorts of things, including the intracranial pressure with a pressure monitor. And that was our guide to weaning the patient and waking her up, which was a very prolonged course in her case, you know. So until we wake the patient up, then we are not exactly sure what the deficits would be. And in her case, her ICU stay was very prolonged. And even after that, I mean, it wasn't a straightforward waking up like normal. I mean, thank God that now she's almost in a perfect state. But it wasn't like that in the beginning. She went through a very prolonged, difficult course, I must say. So, wow. Like her speech was affected, her higher mental functions were affected. There were lots of other problems also that we had to deal with. And as a result, after the prolonged ICU and then the surgical ward and the hospital stay, she had to be sent to a rehab center, you know, which where also she spent a long time. And that also was a great help in her recovery. But thank God, ultimately, things settled and she's pretty good.
Well, thank God for that. Zola, I mean, at such a young age to have this and have the surgery and to wake up and not be able to speak and not be able to walk properly or to have to relearn how to speak and walk and be, yes, in the hospital for so long and then go for, you know, further rehabilitation. And it's a year of that. How has the journey been for you post the operation? How was that for you?
Yeah, it was very hectic for me because I had to walk, I had to talk, like everything from scratch. I had to read, write everything. So, but I'm just thankful for my doctors and Dr. Azhar especially, because none of this would have happened without them.
I think he's very modest. Dr. Azhar is very modest, Zola. But the good news is, you know, you put your studies on hold and you're going to want to continue with your studies. Am I correct?
Yes, yes. I'm back to
tell us what studying. You, tell us what you're going
to
study.
To as well. Sorry?
Tell us what you want to study.
I actually want to do a BA in government and development.
So are you going to be hopefully starting that next year, or when are you going to start that, Azhola?
The end of March. The end of March.
Oh, Azhola, that is just the most wonderful news. Well, I want to tell you that we all wish you the best and we hope that your studies go well, that you graduate and that you go forward and are able to do all the amazing things that you've done. What an extraordinary person you are to get through everything that you've got through. And we just wish you all the best. And Dr. Azhar, as I said when we started, honestly, I mean, here is Azhola. All this time after this incredible operation. And yeah, I do think you're pretty amazing.
You.
So both of you, thank you so much for joining us. It really has been wonderful having you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Especially thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Azhar. Thank you so much. So, you know, I just think that that is an incredible story. And it's always boils down to the, wow, how amazing human beings are, right? Surgeons, I have tremendous respect for. And the human spirit, this young girl who has to relearn how to talk, how to walk, how to read, how to write, right? At this stage of her life. And now she's starting studying. And I just hope that you are inspired by that, because I certainly am. Always look to see what people are doing, what people are going through, how people are transcending the challenges in life. And I always love that. And so, you know, the Good Things publication, focusing on all the amazing things that human beings do, we're going to be focusing on that after the break. So we'll have a break, and then we'll be chatting with Tyler Lee Vivier from Good Things.